Well, I'm a school teacher. I'm in my seventh year of teaching. Makes me feel very old. And I've been working in the Girls' Rally for 10 years. But I'm not up here as an expert by any means. And I'm not also here to correct my mother for bringing me up the way she did. I think she did a good job. And I really hope that we can all learn something just from this brief talk. And I just pray that we're prepared and that we'll take on the hard work of working with people, not just pre-teenagers, but people should be an essential part of our life. And it's probably very hard work with anybody we come across. The ages I'm mainly looking at today are the ages of 10, 11, 12, around the years at school of 5 and 6. And when I think of the people I've worked with, I find it's really hard to generalise and slot them into a big group and work out all the little things that fit with everybody, because everyone is different and you would probably think the same as the ones that you know. I think of three main natures in girls especially. One is at that age to see the girl who's still very young, very open, childlike, still wanting to be playing and not really wanting to grow up. I think I was a bit like that at that age. The second one is the girl who's got too much knowledge too soon. And there's a lot of those around, especially as time goes on. No modesty left at whatsoever. Very tarty, to say the least. And that's a sad side of it. Very hard area to cope with, that one. And the third one, I think the most common, would be the one who's in limbo, changing, unsure of what's going on with themselves, and I'll go on to describe that a bit more. So I'd just like to look at this under three headings. The first one would be the physical side, and I'll again speak mainly about the girls, because at that age, the boys don't really start to change till they're into high school. The girls, I think, are the ones that you see the most change in years 5 and 6, and they've usually started to grow, have started their growth spurt. They possibly have started menstruation, their breasts are developing, and they're very self-conscious, very much aware of it. I often come up to girls in the playground on a hot summer's day, 35 degree heat, in huge sloppy joes and jumpers, and you say, "Are you warm enough?" And they say, "Yes, I'm fine," and push their sleeves up a bit further and quite happy to be in the secret folds of their jumper. And so that's part of going through that stage. I don't know if any of you remember it. In turn, affects their behaviour. We also see there's an early developer, usually, around pretty early, and some who won't start developing till they're into high school. The early developer, so people tell us, usually be more popular and very confident, very sure of themselves, lots of friends, and they tend to go on that way, whereas the late developer is very unsure, wants a lot of acceptance, reassurance, that they'll get there one day. And so some have got a bit of a head start there, whether it's to their advantage or not. Behaviour, second point. All these hormonal changes bring on a big change in behaviour. Very moody, impulsive, unpredictable, erratic, sensitive, self-conscious, and some of us still are like that at times. Ask our husbands, I think. And they become very aware of their sex roles that they're going to play. The boys start to take on the big hero masculine image and won't have anything to do with something that could be labelled sissy or a wimpy sort of activity. And the girls are starting to be more aware of the feminine image that they should have. And the mirror tends to be a very popular place to be from this age on. they're so aware of appearance all of a sudden, and we often spend hours waiting in the bus for that age group to get out and get in the bus to go to rally because they've got to make their final adjustments. If they're not feeling they're fitting in with the image of appearance and that they look good, their self-esteem is going to be very bad. But so that's something they're also coming to terms with. They're also, I guess, pressurising people to buy them their latest clothes and the latest fashion that they want to wear, which is, I guess, I see a lot of people in shopping centres, no, you can't have this, and no, you just had something last week, and so I guess that the battle begins there too, if not earlier. Just other little things that might be happening are that they're suddenly taking an interest in pop groups and or they want to be the fan of somebody on TV, or they're taking a big interest in that. I don't know if they see some sort of image there that they want to be like, or that the pop group is probably singing about how they're challenging society or things like that. So that can be part of their behaviour. They might start writing their little secrets in diaries. I went through that stage too, with a little lock, so couldn't share it with anybody. And they're starting to want independence from your family, to break away a bit from that, which brings me to the peer influence. Tough time as well for the family. Everything your little group or your gang is thinking or feeling is what you feel you've got to be like and you've got to conform to. You want to be accepted, and if you don't feel accepted, then you're going to start acting in a way that's attention-seeking. And we see children at different stages like that at school as well. And you'll find that they might even choose a completely wrong path just because everyone else has chosen it. In that, I mean, even if it to them is logically the wrong decision, they will still possibly go with it just to be with the crowd. All right, we'll move on to what is our role, the most important thing, I think. My memories I have of some really lovely girls we had at rally have started when they were really young, and they got to about this age and they started changing. And the last we saw of them, they had wild habits, foul mouths, their morals were very low, and it's so sad that you've spent all those years perhaps trying to influence them for the Lord and you see them go that way. And we still see them sometimes in the street. Very depressing. And I think if you think of people you've seen that have gone through this and that they seem to be off on the wrong track, we should be more stirred up, we should be more compelled to prepare them better, to start working with them earlier. Go down to the first five headings I've got there. Sensitivity. Well, as I said, we've got the physical changes that are happening, and if we're not sensitive towards them, it's going to make it harder. I remember I was extremely self-conscious and sensitive about this physical changes at that age. And, yes, I remember it. And I think we've got to be careful not to make rash comments and just treat it really lightheartedly. They are really, it's a dramatic time for them. It's intense and we might laugh about it, but we've got to treat them the way that they're feeling at that time, so that they feel we are a friend and we are ready to talk to them. Don't play it down. Don't play down the time they're going through, their moods, their ups and downs. Just try to be understanding, sensitive, and we know they'll get out of it one day, I hope. As for everybody, we should be available. We should be there. I noticed too that they don't want you to be pushy. They don't want you just to sort of force your way in and sit down with them, their group, and start being a big buddy, because they don't relate to that. And they have their times when they want you there and when they don't want you there. And I think they usually let you know. So be sensitive about that too. You'll probably have times when you're going to be hurt by a comment or by some change in their mood, and something's thrown at you. Not physically, but a comment may be thrown at you. And we've got to still be the loving, forgiving person in that situation, knowing that they are changing. As Sandra has already said, they are individuals. Each one is God's person. They think, they act, they feel, and we've got to to see them in that way and love them as God's person. If the peers are putting an extra pressure on them and pushing them to act in a certain way, I think we've got to be firm, don't compromise your standards, but discuss it, be willing to sit and be open about this. Show interest in them, show interest all about their life and what they're doing, and make positive moves towards them. I know I have a real problem with that with people and making a first move and going up to people and talking. It's the same with this age group. Don't be frightened of them, but make a move and talk to them. If we're in the home, be there. Give them time. We haven't finished bringing them up, so be around for them. When they're about to go into high school, I think it starts with preschool. We've got to start talking about the situations they're going to come across, the standards we're going to come across, and talk about it from God's angle. Give them God's way as to what they should be doing. Discuss the situations, weigh it up with them. Read the novels they're bringing home that they've got to read. Discuss what God's angle is on what they're reading. And evolution is another area. Be good if you bought some good books on the creation, modern knowledge about what's happening in the science field there, so they've got good backing. They're confident in their own knowledge of evolution and versus the creation. At home, a very important place, and still on their top priorities of people who influence them, even if they don't seem to be acting that way. It's important we have family prayer at home, but don't drag it out and make it really relevant, make it interesting and brief. Don't go on too long. We shouldn't stop them communicating their own doubts about spiritual things. If they have doubts and questions and they're going to go through that perhaps, let them feel they can say it. Let them feel it's not wrong to say why or whatever the question may be. Have open communication. I think the spiritual side of communication in our Christian homes is perhaps the hardest, most tense one, and it's something we need to work on. The biggest thing for all of us, no matter whether parent or we're just in contact with them, are our lives. We should be having a daily experience with the Lord. We should be having our quiet times and be prepared to face them in the way God would have us face each one. Be open about your own faith, your own personal living faith, not when you became a Christian, but now, what God is doing for you now. Let them see that we have our ups and downs too. We have our bad times and our good times, and that we pray about it. God is not too small for any of our problems, and even to have them alongside praying with us is an important thing. All of us are a witness in front of any child. In the church especially, we mightn't think they see us, but my memories are I have very strong memories of people and the image and the picture they gave to me of their lives when I was young. That's a really important thing. And at school or wherever we are, our witness has got to be clear. It's got to be true. As Sandra was saying, we should admit our mistakes, but we should say sorry often if we have to. If we're wrong, we should say sorry. We don't pretend in front of the children or in front of this age group. And that, we hope, will rub off on them. Don't preach at them. Don't moralise and tell them all the time what's right and wrong. Live it. Just if they're growing up in that environment, then it should affect them. The last point, but not the least, is prayer. And what a comfort, I guess, especially for parents, I don't know yet, but I believe it is such a comfort to know that God has everything in his hands, and our children's lives or the little lives that we're working with, he knows the pattern and the road they're going to go along. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So we should be praying for them. I've acquired a book just a few weeks ago, For the Children's Sake, by Susan Schaefer Macaulay, which is Francis Schaefer's daughter. And she's got a lot of very good practical ways to bring up your children and educate them as well. I'll just read a quote from the book. "We must not only talk, we have to serve, give, and be willing to live with the children. We nurture with life, our life. We need to be praying for wisdom, pray for their wisdom. We need to have open eyes to see them the way God wants us to see them, and that means every one of them. There's no magic way to treat every single one.